Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Emily Smith. And in this episode, I interview Charlie Henderson, who is an intimacy empowerment coach. She is a zealous human being whose passions lie in human connection, tantra, and nervous system based healing. And as an intimacy and empowerment expert, her goal is to support her clients to experience an authentic relationship with themselves, true liberation of the body, and the fullest expression of their unique power. Her coaching practice incorporates the most influential teachings of modern neurobiology and holistic healing. Charlie draws on the techniques of the ancient teachings of Tantra, Taoism, and sacred sexuality, and blends them with Western neuroscience, psychology, and trauma healing. In her free time, Charlie enjoys dancing, singing, writing, and playing music, spending as much time as possible in nature. And I can connect and relate on all those aspects. And Charlie happens to be one of my good friends as well. So I'm excited to share this episode with you, and it will help you redefine your relationship to pleasure and understand how impactful your sense of pleasure and your sexual expression is to your power center and your intuition and body. And pleasure is a radical act of rebellion, and how to gain clarity around your desires, feeling worthy enough for reaching for those desires, expressing your desires, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the podcast, Charlie. I'm so excited to have you here and hear you chat about and have this conversation about pleasure and intimacy in the relationship with ourselves and our bodies. And would love for you to share with my listener and me what really brought you to this work, because you have an interesting background that I think would be really helpful to hear the lens with which you work in.
Yeah. First off, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and always excited to talk more about this topic. Yeah, I do have an interesting background. I've worn many, many hats in my life. And the hat that I've actually worn the longest is a dancer. I was a professional dancer. I went to school for ballet. And through that, I was in a deep connection with my body in a really powerful and beautiful way, but also in a very uncomfortable and toxic environment. And after I had to retire due to injury at actually a pretty young age, I started exploring yoga and meditation. And through that, I started connecting with my body in a really healthy way. I started to see my thoughts and my mind as something that I was in relationship with versus something that was controlling me. Mm-hmm. And eventually through that process, I started feeling more confident. I started to connect with spirituality. So many pieces of my life were coming into alignment, except for sexuality. And I really, really struggled with that for years. I was in this beautiful, healthy relationship. We were very happy. It was one of my relationships that I look back on and have so much gratitude still today. And I had no libido. And it brought up a lot of discomfort. I had no idea how to talk about, sex in general. I had no idea how to talk about my desires or what I wanted, what I was needing more of, what I was wanting less of. And so it put us in this really tough position that we actually ended our relationship just because of lack of communication and differences in what we were desiring, even though I really didn't even know what I was desiring. And through that, I felt very isolated. I felt very alone. I had been on this spiritual journey for a while, but this was one piece I just couldn't figure out. And thankfully, as the universe often works and provides, I was at this party a few months later feeling okay at that point, but still feeling really bummed and very lost. And I met these people and they were very, very open and fluid and very cool. And I asked them immediately, I was like, who are you? What do you do? And they said that they are tantra practitioners and they actually had a workshop that weekend. So I jumped into a tantra workshop with like one day's notice. And thankfully, a lover slash partner at the time came with me. And that was my introduction to tantra. And I like to always use the caveat that I've been studying yoga and meditation for about almost like 10 years at this point. But with Tantra, I feel like I've been studying it about 4 or 5 with teachers and also on my own, and I still feel like a novice. So a lot of the work that I do around pleasure is through the tantric lens, mostly through the philosophy. And we can talk more about that. But that is how I got to the place of being an intimacy and empowerment coach. It wasn't because I was born this like radiant goddess. It was because I had this really tough time, learned all these lessons, found so many tools and practices. And the more I spoke with others about it, the more I realized that so many people in my community in early 20s, we're feeling super shut down in sexuality. It was affecting so many people's relationships. So many of my friends were in sexless relationships that I had no idea. And so I saw a problem and I wanted to support people with it. And that's what I do.
What a beautiful journey. And yeah, normally it happens like that. Like you're doing it well. And then the universe is like, here's a way that's better. And then it empowers you. And now you're helping people do the same. And it's so interesting, like when you were sharing that, it's like, yeah, I think it's just so normalized for women to, and men even, not have those conversations around sex and not like own their desires or even know what they are. Mm-hmm. And it is so liberating and empowering to be able to claim those and name them. And I love to hear from you. You know, we'll talk about like the blocks to that as well, but let's define pleasure for my listener. And what does that mean to you? Because, you know, we talked about this a bit. I was on your IG live and there's so many different perspectives. And I think people hear the word pleasure and they're like, what does that mean? And it's totally more than sex. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah. I so appreciate you asking this question and starting with it, because pleasure, first off, I'm just going to say pleasure is unique to every single human on earth. And it looks very different for everyone. And something that you and I were talking about on that Instagram live, and what I really resonate with, pleasure to me is a sense of aliveness. Pleasure is not just those light emotions of joy or compassion and excitement and pleasure, let's say. And it's the embodiment of all of the experiences that we can exist in as humans. And that's why aliveness resonates a lot with me. And the aliveness is a word used a lot in the tantric practice as well, because in the tantric philosophy, it's very much embracing all parts of ourselves so that we can fully experience life as a whole human being. And so often, I think part of why you ask this question, tell me if I'm wrong, is that we live in a society that tells us that pleasure is flashy and it's something that's very external. It's something that we have to go do, versus something that we experience from the inside out. And pleasure can be the most subtle experience of enjoying a deep breath. Pleasure can, of course, be having a party and dancing and having it be this elaborate thing, but it doesn't have to be. And I think that sometimes when we look at pleasure in that grandiose way, it becomes less accessible. But when pleasure can be something that is a daily practice in the most subtle form, it's so expansive.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. And I fully agree too. I think that's what helped me wrap my mind around pleasure, because it was really hard to see like, how does that impact me on the day to day? And how do I weave that in? And it's just like, it's just there. It's just being alive and it's embracing all the emotions on the spectrum. And that actually does feel so much better than to numb and repress and label emotions that are negative, which is really not true in any sense of the word. And I love to know from you, like, how can someone start to identify what their pleasure is? Like, what, how can they start to explore that?
Yeah. Something I like to think about with pleasure or aliveness is really, we've talked about this too, is being in relationship with it. Mm-hmm. And just as you would with a new friend, you have to get to know it. You have to get to know this part of yourself. Just as you get to know the part of you that goes to work every day, the part of you that takes care of your family or interacts with your friends, it's a part of you that takes time and is always evolving. So something I always like to think of is pleasure is very fluid and is always changing. It's not stagnant. So something that I found pleasurable 10 years ago maybe something I find pleasurable today, but also might not be. So if you are someone that's wanting to explore pleasure and wanting to dive deeper into this, I invite you to think of the little moments that create a felt sense in the body. So something that maybe creates a warmth in the chest or a bubbling up in the stomach, or a smile, a slight smile comes to your face when you think about it, and then finding ways to connect with that feeling as much as possible. And again, for me, one of my favorite pleasures in all the world, and I'm so excited for spring, is to simply smell things when I'm on my walks. Smelling a flower, or in Portland, I live in Portland, Oregon. There's a lot of rosemary. There's a lot of lavender. Like, smelling those things can make my day. So that's such an easy, subtle thing. But I didn't know that for a really long time. I didn't actually know that my sense of smell was so pleasurable for me until I started slowing down. I think that's actually step one, is slowing down enough, because experiencing pleasure is a really intimate act, and it's becoming more intimate with yourself. So being able to slow down, I think, is step one. And then when you slow down, what do you see and find?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. The slowing down, and I relate with the smells too. I'm already like starting to smell everything. And I think that just is able to, bring you to that sense of aliveness. And like you said, connecting with your senses helps you become more embodied. And I think when I was looking on Pinterest a while ago, I was finding like, how do you find small luxuries throughout the day? And it was just like going slow. And it was like making your tea really slowly and having breakfast. And I think that way is when you can notice these things that bring you pleasure. So yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I love the, even just simply when you're having a conversation with someone, the idea of, even if it's a work conversation, you can be in a conversation and be thinking, okay, go, go, go. Let's go. What's next? What do we have to do? Versus, I'm going to slow down and just listen and notice how this person's energy is, and notice what they're really saying and how they're really feeling, and how I can fully be present with this human being. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And that's just connecting with your intuition too. Like you were saying, sensing their energy, tuning into like what they are needing, and using your skills of empathy. I love that. And now let's talk about some of the blocks. Like, how has the patriarchy consciously oppressed this expression of sexuality and even pleasure, like distorting that definition too?
Yeah. And I think sexuality and pleasure are very intertwined, and they can be very separate. Just like you were saying earlier, obviously there can be a lot of pleasure in sexuality. There can be a lot of pleasure outside of sexuality. I would say even more outside of sexuality. And we do live in a patriarchal society here in the West, where, in my opinion, and like many others' opinions in the field that I work in, is that the patriarchy has consciously oppressed sexuality because it is such a place of power. Being in touch with your sexuality is being in touch with your body. It is being in touch with your intuition. It's being in touch with a very, very powerful part of you. And when people are in touch with that part, it creates self-expression. It creates power. It creates awareness. A lot of times the patriarchy doesn't want there to be awareness or consciousness, because it's happening more and more nowadays. When we look around, we realize that it's not working. We're not at all in a just system. There's so much injustice that happens within our society and in our system nowadays. And people are finally able to have some level of freedom to see it and speak to it, whereas in the past we did not. And I think that sexuality being oppressed affects everyone. I do believe that in a way women have had, or female bodied people, or people who are assigned female at birth, have had the experience of more oppression of sexuality. And I believe that people who are male bodied also experience it so deeply, because they have been taught that they have it through this lens of like this very toxic, egocentric experience. And that, again, it takes you away from emotions. It takes you away from your intuition. It takes you out of your body and into more of a performance experience.
Yeah. This, I had chills when you were sharing that. That to me is the truth that I feel as well, that being disconnected is advantageous to the powers mm-hmm. that be, because exactly what you were saying, that we are so much more empowered. And I'd love to hear in your own experience and with your clients too, like what happens on the other side of when you are connected to your pleasure and your sexual expression, like how does that show up in your day-to-day life?
I love this. And this is something that I really see my work shifting towards. Yeah. Is I always joke, people come and they're like, I want to have better sex. I want to have orgasms. And I'm like, great, we can do that. We can make that happen. But when they are on the other side, I'll start with myself. When I was able to tap into my sexuality, I was then able to tap into what I care about most, how I want to be taking action in the world, and how I want to be of service to others. It actually took me a lot, like out of myself. It took me into action of, oh, I live in a patriarchal system. There is oppression happening within sexuality. What can I do about it? And that's my calling. For mm-hmm. other clients, I've seen it as, wow, now my sexuality feels in alignment. I know my intuition. I know my power. I now get to be the mother I want to be. I now get to go show up for climate justice. I now get to go show up for social justice. I really see it as a way of, when you tap into that power, you get to go take action around what you care most about. And that's different for everyone, but that's the exciting part. Like that's the like,
yes.
Like kind of like total fuck you to the patriarchy. It's like, not only am I having great sex, I'm now like getting on the streets and like, I can show up for what I care about most.
Oh, that is so powerful. And yeah, even I have dabbled in Tantra teachings and, you know, going to courses here and there in my own reading. And it's like that energy that you connect to with your sexuality is like an energy, like that does give you that energy to be in those places and take those actions towards what you care about, because it's like this inner well of energy that you're tapping into, or even from the cosmos too. And I know there's that shadow aspect piece that you talked about as well. And mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more from your perspective. Like, what is Tantra teaching about shadow, and how do you integrate that with on this journey to sexual expression?
Yeah, I love that you brought up the energetic component of Tantra, because I don't consider myself a Tantra expert or even teacher at this point, but I love the philosophy. So I lean on the philosophy a lot. And yes, when we live in a society, again, not only the patriarchy, but also capitalism, we live in this hustle culture that is just go, go, go. So most of us are burnout, are tired, are overwhelmed. That, again, is very consciously done so that then we don't have the energy to go fight back and do the things that will change the systems at be. But with Tantra, you are able to tap into this energy, and that level of aliveness increases often when people really lean into these practices. And one of the practices being embracing and welcoming and having compassion for our shadows. Mm. And this, it's just like, we've been taught the opposite. Most of us have been taught the opposite. If you are focusing on your sadness, if you lean into anger, if you allow yourself to be greedy or jealous, you are a bad person, is the message that we've received, especially if anyone's grown up in certain religions. Those are sins. If you do that, you will go to hell, and that's the rest of your life. But in the tantric philosophy, it's believed that if you start to get to know those parts and start to have compassion and love for those parts, it's not that that's how we want to necessarily live our lives, but when we express those parts of ourselves in a way that is healthy and safe, and in a way that can be supportive of our growth, that's when we get to tap into deeper levels of pleasure, of joy, of happiness, of expansion. And that's when we get to know our true selves. I think so often we think of getting to know our highest self mm-hmm. or our truest self as this divine, beautiful being, which of course, yes, that is part of it. And that divine, like I'm thinking of kind of like an angelic divine being like mm-hmm. floating above me, is just as much me as is like the like very like sultry, dark mm-hmm. witch from the underworld who holds the subconscious of my shadows. Like both are equally me. And when I'm just focusing on one, it limits me from getting to know the other.
Are you a high-achieving, heart-centered woman who's ready to experience more flow, more fulfillment, and more freedom in her life and career? I invite you to learn more about my program, Reclaim, which supports you in reclaiming your wholeness and your feminine essence to experience more alignment, fulfillment, and flow. And you've probably understood by now and listening to this podcast that there's a feminine aspect of yourself that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be embodied so that you can feel in balance and live life in a softer, more connected way. And to do that, you have to embody your self-worth and emotional empowerment so that you can move through the challenges that inevitably come up when you start walking towards a life that is soul-aligned. And becoming embodied in your feminine helps you to anchor in a deep sense of faith throughout these challenging transitions, helps you to reclaim your boundaries and permission to say no, and to remove subconscious blocks and increase your ability to receive, which is a wound in the collective of the feminine. And a lot of this is embedded trauma in the body. And I use a somatic approach so that you can release these blocks in a safe way and start to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your body, which is always there and inviting you to start living from this space instead of from your head, which is, you know, the version of yourself that's anxious and in analysis paralysis, is from living from your headspace. So if this sounds supportive to you, I invite you to book a free 20-minute consult with me to discover what do you need to embody to get this soul-aligned life that you desire, what needs to be released, what needs to be embodied. And this is complimentary, so we can see if this is a good match and a good support for you going forward. You can find the link in the show notes, talktoemily.com, to book your session today. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I feel like this goes to our conversation yesterday about on the IG live about pleasure, the spectrum of like you, if you're able to experience those shadow emotions, then you're more easily able to experience the pleasurable and like joyful emotions. And I'm sure my listener can relate, like berating yourself and getting mad at yourself for the qualities, like that hasn't worked. So yeah. Try like opening up to them. And I think that was the biggest shift for me, is once I realized like, I'll just try something new. I'll just try loving those parts and see what's there. Because otherwise you can just be so disconnected. Like you were saying, you know, having your higher self. And I think that's so much like spirituality, rhetoric, I guess that you could call it in media. It's all about like aligning to your highest self. And I've been doing a lot of research in goddess archetypes. And one that I resonate with is Persephone, which she's like the goddess of the underworld. And so if you're having trouble connecting with your shadow side, like she is celebrating her shadow side, like that's her greatest gift. So that could be something to look into. But I think that, you know, you share that this is our power in our pleasure, and how do you start to gain clarity around these desires? And I know this is the work that you help clients with, but sometimes I think as women, at least I can experience this from the lens that I work through with feminine embodiment, is like, sometimes we don't even give ourselves permission to have a desire. So that's like, just first off, like, how do you claim a desire and get clarity when it's hard to even understand that we're allowed to have those?
Yes. I love this question. Yeah, this is, every single time I start working with a client, we do a process called desire mapping. And it's really picking apart the pieces of your desires. And it's really fun to do in a one-on-one container, but you can also do it by yourself. And something that I like to start with is creating intentional space for your desires. Just as we were talking about pleasure being a relationship, your desires are also a relationship. And if you spend one day or 1 hour a year with your desires, that relationship's not going to be strong. But if you start a practice of becoming intimate with your desires, it's very, very powerful how, first off, how comfortable you will become with them, and also how expansive it can become. So something that I like to start with is just being able to create some kind of container, whether that's like lighting a candle or sitting down to meditate, or kind of maybe creating an altar that is around your pleasure and desires, and just speaking to the universe, to source, to God, goddess, whatever it is that you invite into your life, that you are open to your desires, that you're open for them coming in. And something I like to journal a lot. I'm someone who likes to process a lot through writing. I also, if you're someone who's like, oh, I don't really like to journal, audio recording can be really good, and you can listen to it back and hear it in your own voice. But something I love to do is just starting with, what are 10 things I'm desiring today? Or what am I today? Like, today can make it really easy, because it doesn't have to be future-based. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Like, what am I desiring today? And it can be as simple as, I want to grill cheese this afternoon. I want to take a walk. I want to listen to my favorite song. I want to call my mom. It can be anything. And it doesn't have to be like, yeah, I want to be in the most darling relationship of all the, it's like, great. Yes. Amazing. And start easy, like make it easy for yourself. And then what I like to do is, from that list of 10, find one that feels strongest for the day. This can be, again, something bigger. And then I want you to ask yourself, and this can be another journal prompt, is, if this desire were to come true, what would it bring into your life? Mm-hmm. And this is less about, oh, if I have the partnership of my dreams, it would bring me partnership. It's more about, it would bring me love and connection and intimacy, things like that. Yeah. And so it's kind of just pulling back the layers of the desire, thinking of desire as almost an onion. And then when you get to the core of the desire, I see it all. I just wrote a post about this. I see it all the time with my clients, that it's less about them, and it's wanting to be in connection. It's wanting a sense of belonging. It's wanting to feel like they're in community. So sometimes I think leaning into desires can feel selfish. And if they are all about you, hell yes, like always hell yes. But oftentimes, if you're someone who's struggling with desire, allow yourself to get to the core and notice who else this will be impacting. Mm. And I think that can feel really empowering.
Ah, I love that. It's so funny. I was watching this YouTube video the other day. I kind of touched on these, manifesting videos or law of attraction. And one way to manifest effectively is to do that, is to focus on like the benefit that it gives other people. Because I think, a lot of it is, we don't want to be self-centered and like self-serving a lot of the time. So I think that's such a powerful way, because like you're saying, most of the desires actually are connected to other people. And I think that's a great tip of starting small. Like for me, my desires have been matcha. Like I'm on a matcha journey, and I like make that in the morning, and it just gives me so much joy. So I think that's a great way to start small and connect to those feelings. And what is your view on feeling worthy of these desires? Because I think that's a huge piece of it as well, right?
Yes. Yes. And it's funny, I have a curriculum that I take all of my clients through, regardless of how long we work together. I always take everyone through this 3-month curriculum, and worthiness is always a part of it because it comes up for everyone. So first off, if you're just listening and you're like, I don't actually feel worthy, you're not alone at all. And my number one tool with working with worthiness is radical acceptance. Mm-hmm. Radical acceptance is really accepting yourself wherever you're at, whether that's, I feel like I'm 10 years away from this desire. Great. This is where we're at, and we're going to move forward. So much of what I see with clients, honestly, is the biggest blockage they have around their desires is their own limiting belief of worthiness, or even the fact that they even have that desire. There might be shame, there might be guilt. Yeah. So the way to practice radical acceptance, and in my experience with clients and in my own practice, is to just let your desire be seen. You don't, and I like radical acceptance over like self-love or loving your desires, because it takes time to get to that point. And having a moment of acceptance can be writing your desire down and being like, okay, that's something that exists within me. You don't have to act on it. You don't have to make any moves yet. You just have to say, okay, there was a part of me that wanted to be seen, and I'm allowing it to be seen. And it takes time. Radical acceptance is such a practice, but a really great way to keep grounding into acceptance, in my opinion, is celebration. Mm-hmm. Or gratitude. You can do either, but I typically do celebration with clients. And say you have the desire of, I'm desiring to drink matcha lattes every morning for this week. And you don't have matcha, you don't even know where to get matcha. You know, it's like, that seems far off. But you can just celebrate the fact that I celebrate that I'm seeing this desire. I celebrate that I made time to sit with my desires. And I celebrate that I'm just the amazing human being that I am today. And when we allow ourselves to focus on celebration while dealing with worthiness, or while dealing with any discomfort that may come up, it lets the brain and the nervous system know that there is something that's going well. Because when we are just focused on like, oh, this feels scary or uncomfortable, the nervous system starts to realize, okay, this is scary and uncomfortable. Like, maybe we should stop.
Right.
And most self-healing and growth is scary and uncomfortable to some degree. But when we bring in celebration, every time I do a practice with myself, whether that's shadow work or self-pleasure or integration work, I always do celebration at the end to remind my nervous system that it's safe to keep doing this work. So I think celebration can be a really powerful tool with whatever someone's working on, especially when it comes to worthiness.
I love that. I think as my listener is, you know, a high achieving woman, I think, and I see this so much with my clients, is that we don't celebrate ourselves and we don't, you know, give ourselves permission to have these desires and be proud of taking action. And even for the matcha, I'll share that, you know, I was having it a lot at cafes and I was like, I really want it. Like you were saying, I don't know, I don't have the supplies, but whatever. And then very serendipitously, like I just kept just being like excited about it. And then I went to this place for lunch and across the street, there was like a tea shop, and I went in and they had literally all the supplies. And even in there, when I was like buying it, I felt like some guilt too. I was like, oh, like I don't need all this. And then after I was like, no, I like switched back out of that. I was like, no, like this is like this journey that you're going on. Literally, and the guy literally at the register was like, enjoy your matcha journey. I was like, thank you. Like I am fully embracing this desire. And it was something small like that, but I just kept sitting with it. So I think that's a great tip to radically accept where you are, even if that's not where you want to be, and to celebrate and create that safety in your nervous system. And I know you're a huge nervous system focus in your work as well.
Yes. I'm such a nerd for the nervous system.
Yeah. And it's so important. Like I think exactly what you're talking about. And I know you just hosted a retreat on manifestation, and I think calling in your desires and experiencing more pleasure, like that all involves creating more safety in the nervous system, right?
So much safety. Yeah. And I like the term safe enough. Sometimes, depending on who you are and where you live in the world, safety in the nerve, like full safety in the nervous system, may or may not ever exist. And I think finding spaces that feel safe enough within your body is where to start. Because, again, being a woman in a patriarchal society, like, may not ever feel 100% safe. Being a person of color in America, like, may or may not ever feel 100% safe. But finding those spaces that feel safe enough in your body is where to start. And so, yeah, like you might be someone that's like, I found safety in my nervous system. And I'm like, great, congratulations. But if you're like, that may or may not ever exist, start with safe enough to lean into the work. Yeah.
It's such a beautiful distinction. And yeah, I think safe enough is something that is very doable in this moment. Like I think especially people that have gone through trauma, and it's like an unraveling of the onion, like you said, like they're probably is never going to be a full, full healing, and finding just safe enough in the moment. And like you said, everyone is unique in their capacity and what is their sense of pleasure and safety. I think that's so beautiful to give that permission as well. Mm-hmm. And to honor that distinction that we are living in this unjust society and these systems. And I love that you incorporate this aspect and inclusion in your work as well, because I think it can be very easy. We talked about this on your IG live of like very privileged point of view of, like manifesting and pleasure. And I think that is just not a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's so important. And I feel very grateful for what I have been exposed to in my lifetime around learning about social justice, learning about climate justice, even, and learning, of course, around sexual education and the lack thereof in America specifically. But yeah, I think it's really, really important to zoom out. It's really critical right now to be able to zoom out and recognize, yes, let's talk about manifestation, let's talk about pleasure, and recognize that in my life experience, I'm approaching it in certain ways, in an oppressed experience, but mostly in a really privileged experience. Yeah. And knowing that that is not everyone's experience, and naming that, and most importantly, uplifting voices that need it the most. Yes. And that have those life experiences that are going to be the voices that change our society. My realm of movement, I don't believe it's going to be like the white 30-year-olds that would rock the world. I think it's going to be
not
BIPOC. People of color and indigenous women, especially trans and indigenous women.
What a beautiful vision to hold, and I see that so clearly too. And I just love your work, Charlie, and I feel so aligned with how we view different aspects of healing and pleasure and embodiment, and would love for you to share, where can my listener find you online and how can they connect with you and your work?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned this at the beginning, I'm an intimacy and empowerment coach, and currently I do one-on-one containers, and I actually have a self-study and group program coming up called Intuitive Wisdom, as well as a group program called Intuitive Pleasure that I'll be releasing this spring that I'm very excited about. So you can find me on Instagram at charliehenderson_coaching, or you can go to my website at charlie-henderson.com. And on both spaces, you can find ways to connect with me. For one-on-one, I like to do a free 20-minute call so we can just get to know each other and find out if and how I can support you, and then dive into the coaching container.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Charlie, for sharing your wisdom and for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always love doing this and love seeing you.
Of course. Okay.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did, I would love to hear from you in a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts.